scripture reading from the Old Testament this morning is from Isaiah 43 and reading verses 1 to 7. It is our prayer, isn't it, that God would show his face and we'd see his glory as we read his word. Isaiah 43 verses 1 to 7. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And our New Testament reading is from Mark chapter 1. And verses 9 to 13. At that time, that's at the time that John was baptizing, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's just pause for a prayer. Thank you, Lord God, for your life-giving word. And may it indeed be life-giving to us this morning. And speak through me, I pray. Amen. Sometimes people feel the need to make a statement, don't they? And so earlier this week, David Cameron and Nick Clegg, in a rather stage-managed presentation, gave their midterm report on the first 2.5 years of coalition government. And by their words and by their very bearings, they were saying, we're in this together. And despite any criticism and anyone who might wish to see us finish this agreement, we're committed for a full 5-year term. They're setting out their stall. They're making a statement. Yesterday afternoon at about 6 o'clock, Bristol's Premier Football Club, the chairman had to make a statement to say that the manager's services were no longer required. That's happened quite a lot across the other side of the city as well in recent times. We talk of sportsmen and women making a statement by putting in an exceptional performance. making the opposition sit up and notice. Maybe some of you have had the joy of seeing your teenager come home with dyed hair or pierced ears or some other protrusion. Making a statement, saying, I'm carving out my own path. I'm expressing my independence. Well, Jesus, at the beginning of his earthly ministry, was making a very clear statement. He'd do it many times, of course, in his words and in his actions. On this occasion, it's with his actions. As he goes to see his cousin John, the baptizer, and along with others, gets baptized in the River Jordan. Now, on the surface, this is quite a surprising act, because John's message is one of repentance, of turning away from wrongdoing. And yet Jesus, of course, had done no wrong. So there was nothing to turn away from. So what was he doing? Well, he was expressing his own humanity and identifying the rest of humanity, expressing the fact that he belonged to the community of the Jews, to whom, of course, he'd ultimately bring a new way of thinking and living. He was also expressing humility. He was submitting himself to another person, John the Baptist, and ultimately submitting himself to his Heavenly Father. And in that, we're reminded of our need to humble ourselves before others and before God. And we're told in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 3:15, that Jesus' act fulfilled righteousness. It was the right thing to do. It expressed his commitment, fulfilling the plans his Father had for him. And his humbling at his baptism was a foretaste of his humbling at the cross. And so Jesus makes this symbolic statement. And as he arises from the waters of baptism, God the Father makes a statement too. And it's a statement of wonderful affirmation. A voice came down from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. How good must that have felt? He hasn't done anything yet. He's just setting out on fulfilling his call. And yet his Father is proud of him. His Father was just as proud of him at this point as when he healed blind Bartimaeus, as when he preached a stonking sermon, as when he stood up to the Pharisees, or even when he faced up to death. Just think about that for a moment and what it means for us. You see, the Father, our Heavenly Father, is proud of us. And he's pleased with us, not because of what we achieve, but just because we are his. I think we need constantly to be reminded of that truth. We can get caught up in so much striving, a sense of duty. I must do more. I must do better. And yet God's love for us is not because of our busyness, our list of achievements. It's just because we are. And we are his. To quote Isaiah, we are precious and honoured in his sight. What an uplifting experience baptism must have been for Jesus. The affirmation of the Father and the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. And yet even those things were no guarantee of an easy ride. Because from his baptism we see him sent out into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And so from the exhilaration of baptism, He moves to a time of incredible isolation and testing. And yet again, in the wilderness, Jesus makes a statement. In resisting temptation, he was saying he was not to be deflected from his call and his obedience to his Heavenly Father. Baptism, of course, is one of the major sacraments of our faith. And whether we've been baptized as a child or as an adult, it's a clear statement of allegiance and trust. We identify with Christ in his baptism. We witness to him before our friends, before our family, and before the Christian community. And we humble ourselves before God, trusting in his grace. If you haven't yet been baptized, do come and have a word with Joe and myself afterwards. We'll gladly explore that further. But there's a chance for us this morning, those who have been baptized, to reaffirm our own baptismal vows and promises, to make a fresh statement as the new year begins, identifying ourselves as God's people and our ongoing commitment to follow wherever it might lead. And so during the rest of our service, there's going to be a flow of activity in which we can engage as individuals at the start of this year, which express our ongoing commitment to Christ. First of all, we're going to reaffirm our baptismal vows, which set out something of our belief and commitment and our desire to follow Christ. And then as our service continues, we'll flow into communion, where we reflect on the life-giving message of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And then finally, as we prepare to go out into the world, an act of commissioning as we express our ongoing commitment to live for Christ. This has actually been prompted, though, by one person who came up to me back in December, mid-December, and said, "I'd really like an opportunity to be baptised again." And I said, "Well, we're not really into that sort of thing here, you know, multiple baptism. But we might be able to provide an opportunity just for you to reaffirm your baptismal vows." And so Astrid is going to just come and join me now and just share her motivation for this and the way in which her faith has become increasingly real in recent months. So thanks, Astrid.
The American pastor Eugene Peterson says in his book, "A person has to be utterly disgusted with the way things are to find the motivation to set out the Christian way." This quotation might not fit every Christian in their story, but it's definitely how it's been for me. Because 3 years ago, I was confirmed in Denmark with all my classmates, but it was more an act of selfishness, so it was for all of us. Because in Denmark, it's more about a celebration of becoming a teenager, becoming a young adult. It's more a celebration of being able to party, you get a beautiful dress, and you get a lot of attention and money. And it's about little things instead of being about Christ, that one thing. So I've done some further counting. I have a host father here in England, and I have a stepfather, I have a biological father, and now I've finally come to realise that it's true when people tell me I also have a Heavenly Father. So that is the reason why I've requested to get this opportunity to reconfirm my faith here at Christ Church. Because being away from my friends and family and all my stuff and belongings and all those little things, it just makes me realise just how much I suffered from selfishness and this greed problem. This, if I don't grab what's mine while I can, I might not be happy syndrome. And living with this syndrome is really exhausting. And the Christian faith has turned this around and giving me a strength and motivation to life that I've never had before. So I'm just really excited and motivated to embrace a Christian life.
Isn't that great? You know, that recognition of God as Heavenly Father alongside biological father, stepfather, host father here in England, and the strength that that is bringing into Astrid's life. And so Astrid, I know, wants to reaffirm her baptismal vows, and I trust there are many here would also like to do that as well. So if you'd like to take up your order of service, if you've got one in the side pews, and the words will be on the screen if you're in the middle section, and we're going to respond to these questions. Let's stand, shall we, as we do so. In baptism, God calls us out of darkness into his marvellous light. To follow Christ means dying to sin and rising to new life with him. And therefore I ask, do you reject the devil and all rebellion against God? Do you renounce the deceit and corruption of evil? Do you repent of the sins that separate us from God and neighbour? Do you turn to Christ as Saviour? Do you submit to Christ as Lord? Do you come to Christ, the way, the truth, and the life? May God, who has given you the desire to follow Christ, give you strength to continue in the way. Amen. And now with confidence, let's sing that great hymn.